DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual formation according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He is also author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, all published by the Crossroads Publishing Company. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We now begin part one of our conversation with Father Gallagher discussing dryness in prayer in relationship to spiritual desolation.
Question will come up at times. I'm feeling dry in my spiritual life. My prayer is dry, arid. I don't feel, you know, the Lord's closeness. It just feels like not too much is happening. Is that spiritual desolation? Is it something different than spiritual desolation? And again, depending on how we answer that question, we're going to respond in one way or another to the experience that we're calling dryness. Let's begin by looking at some of the data from the writings of St. Ignatius and then the early Jesuits. When Ignatius gives us the description of experiences or the list of experiences of spiritual desolation in Rule 4, we don't find dryness there. We just went through those in earlier conversations. However, Ignatius has other brief, they're called directories. What happened was this: Ignatius knew in his own lifetime, and the early Jesuits knew, that those who were going to give the spiritual exercises to people needed more guidance than was available in that very essential streamlined volume of the spiritual exercises. And so Ignatius began this during his lifetime. On some occasions, he would just jot down notes. It was never a finished work. And on other occasions, he would give answers to questions to his Jesuits, and they would jot these down. And so we have these initial brief directories or practical commentaries giving advice on how to give the spiritual exercises. Others of the early generation of Jesuits also wrote, out of their training by Ignatius and their experience, wrote more developed directories. And so a body of these directories developed. And the goal of all of this was to put the best wisdom out of all of these directories together in what would be the official directory of the Jesuits. And this was published in 1599, a little over 40 years after Ignatius died. And it's the classic directory for the spiritual exercises. So what I want to do now is go back to these early directories and ask the question, do we find dryness there when they describe spiritual desolation? So as we said, Ignatius does not include dryness in the experiences, the list of experiences of spiritual desolation, as he gives them in Rule 4. But he does include it in what's called the autograph directory. This is one of these brief commentaries on how to give the spiritual exercises, autographed because there's some of his own handwriting in it. And when he addresses the issue of spiritual desolation in this directory, he does include dryness, and the way he says it is dryness against tears, sequedad in the Spanish, contra lágrimas. So that in spiritual consolation, there are tears, tears of joy, tears that express the warmth of knowing God's closeness and his love. And desolation would be exactly the opposite. It's the dryness, which is the absence of such warmth expressed with tears. Then in some of the early Jesuit directories, these first generation Jesuits who were formed by Ignatius himself, and significant among them is Juan Alfonso de Polanco, who was secretary of Ignatius for many years and has a significant directory on how to give the exercises. And Polanco does include dryness in the Latin, ariditas, does include that as an experience of spiritual desolation. Another one of these early first-generation Jesuit masters, Diego Miró, when he speaks of spiritual desolation, describes it as sadness, want of trust, lack of love, and dryness, as is said in the fourth rule. Now, he uses a different Latin word than Polanco. His word is sicitas, which is the dryness, for example, when you have a drought and things are drying up. And it's interesting that Father Miró sees this as something that is included in the fourth rule, and dryness, as is said in the fourth rule, so that even though the word is not there explicitly in Ignatius' text, as Father Miró reads that text, he understands that Ignatius intends dryness as an experience of spiritual desolation. And then in the official directory, which was the gathering together and compiling out of all of this early material, an official formal directory for giving the exercises, and this was composed 43 years after the death of Ignatius, so we're still very close to the origins, dryness is again included as an experience of spiritual desolation. And then one more of these directories, because it adds another interesting nuance. It's called the short directory simply because it's short. There's no indication of the author. And in this directory, spiritual desolation includes dryness of affect and darkness of mind, as is said in the fourth rule. So again, this directory understands dryness as included in Ignatius' own fourth rule in the exercises, but explicitates that the dryness is an affective reality, which corresponds to a darkness of the mind or a cognitive reality. So that in spiritual desolation, there is a darkness in terms of understanding, a confusion of heaviness, and an inability to see clearly. And the corresponding heart-level experience is dryness, an emptiness, an aridity. So, having looked at that data from Ignatius and the early Jesuits, we ask the question then, here is a person who is praying, who is living the spiritual life and living it faithfully, and he or she is spiritually dry, that is, devoid of affectively warm stirrings with a sense of God's closeness and the Lord's love. When is that experience an experience of spiritual desolation? And the question obviously matters because depending on how we understand the experience of dryness, the remedy or the response is going to be very different in various cases. Now, the answer depends upon the specific form of dryness that the person is experiencing, because as we've said earlier in these conversations, in spiritual realities, very often the same word can mean many different things. So what we need to do to answer that question, when is dryness spiritual desolation, is to look at the various forms of dryness. I don't intend to give an exhaustive list, but we'll say enough in order to make clear what the answer needs to be. So forms of dryness. And the first form of dryness arises simply from lack of formation in prayer. So here is a person of goodwill who wants to pray, but has never had any instruction or formation in prayer, and so flounders, doesn't really know what to do, and says, my prayer is dry. In this case, the simple need is for instruction in prayer, so that if the person can learn, for example, how to pray Lectio Divina, or Ignatian meditation and contemplation, or the Liturgy of the Hours, or the Rosary, all the various forms of prayer that our tradition so richly supplies for us, very likely then the experience of dryness will cease as the person now has an idea, knows how to pray. And we all need, like the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. We all need to be taught in prayer. I've never forgotten that when I made the Ignatian spiritual exercises, when I finished them, I said, somebody has finally taught me how to pray. The tradition finally was mediated to me in a way that showed me how to pray. So if anyone were to be experiencing dryness for that reason, the need is simply to learn from the tradition how to pray. And of course, there are all sorts of ways of doing that, digital, written courses, and so forth. We actually did a series earlier on Ignatian meditation and prayer and the Liturgy of the Hours. A second form of dryness can derive from negligence in prayer. So here is a person who has been praying faithfully, loves the Lord, and then for whatever reason, prayer begins to slip and get a little more spotty. So it's no longer as consistent as it was, maybe not as prepared as well, the care to find the conditions. So things are slipping. Some negligence has come into the life of prayer, and the prayer begins to feel dry for the person. In that case, the need and the response is to integrate again those areas into a rich and faithful prayer so that the person become more faithful to the prayer, prepare for it in the way that the person know helps best and so forth. And very likely in that case, the dryness will also cease. Yet another experience of dryness can derive from an inconsistency between prayer and life. So that here is a person, again, faithfully praying, loves the prayer, is finding it fruitful. And at a certain point, something comes into the way the person is living that is not consistent with the prayer, something that is against the teaching of Christ. It might be simply sinful, or it may be simply something that is a failing or a fault somewhere, but a pulling away in the way we are living, or in some aspect of the way we are living, from the communion with God that is prayer, from the relationship with God that is prayer. And I think one classic example of this in our tradition is those 10 years in St. Teresa of Avila's life when she was faithfully praying, but she was also living in a way that was not entirely consistent with that, seeking things that for her life as a contemplative nun were really more worldly than they should have been. And prayer was very painful, very hard for her, very difficult for her in those years, until finally she was able to resolve the inconsistency, and then that kind of struggle in prayer ceased. So a person might find if something like this has entered his or her life that prayer gets more difficult, and we say, my prayer is dry. In that case then, said reverently, the need is to reintegrate that aspect of my life into consistency with my prayer. And then again, very, very likely, the experience of dryness will cease.
We'll return to Spiritual Desolation, Be Aware, Understand, Take Action with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. The Councils of Mercy, an excerpt from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
Keep constantly before you these two proposals that I urge you to renew often and with a holy persistence. First, never to offend God knowingly, and second, if you should fall, never to persevere in this with your will, but with humility and courage, to rise immediately and begin again, firmly convinced that God forgives you in the instant itself, that which humility and trust you ask is forgiveness.
For more excerpts from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, visit discerninghearts.com. A prayer for the intercession of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. O Father, fountain of all life and holiness, you gave Father Bruno Lanteri great faith in Christ your Son, a lively hope, and an active love for the salvation of his brethren. You made him a prophet of your word and a witness to your mercy. He had a tender love for Mary, and by his very life he taught fidelity to the Church. Father, hear the prayer of your family, and through the intercession of Father Lanteri, grant us the grace for which we now ask. May he be glorified on earth, that we may give you greater praise. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action, with Father Timothy Gallagher.
Could I bring up an example, Father Gallagher, or two that might be apropos for some people who are listening that are kind of struggling with they feel as this dryness? For example, someone who maybe had the experience of being able to attend daily Mass, and because of circumstances, maybe they had to get a job, maybe a child was born or whatever that might be, they're no longer able to attend daily Mass. And so they feel maybe this dryness, and yet they feel that the other forms of prayer may not be as effective as the daily Mass. They may not even try. The fact is that these are the circumstances in which they find their life. What might be the remedy in this particular case?
Well, I think that's a different situation in a blessed way from what we've just been describing, because there's no negligence in the person's life there. There's no introduction of something that is contrary to what Christ would want that is leading to the difficulty in prayer. It's actually something very beautiful. You know, the birth of a child, for example, that leads this person more deeply into his or her vocation. Or, you know, a job that is necessary for the sake of the family and so forth that make it difficult. So I think the first thing to say to anyone in that situation is do not feel at all that you are failing the Lord. On the contrary, by doing what you need to do for the sake of your work, for the sake of the new child, or for whatever the reasons of health that have come up to take proper care of an illness or some situation, we are entering actually more deeply into the vocation the Lord has called us as we do these things out of love for the Lord and in the Lord for those with whom we share our lives. Having said that, then the need is to find the way to pray in the new situation. An excellent resource for this would be St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life, because he addresses exactly this issue, although he is speaking of a broader issue of yes, monks in their monasteries can pray regularly and be dedicated to the things of God. And then the sense would be that others who have to live more actively in the world can never hope for the same kind of closeness with the Lord or prayer or holiness. And so he very warmly says on the contrary. And the whole emphasis in his book is how does one live the devout life, the life of holiness in the world, in the active life in the world, in the lay vocation, in marriage, and so forth. So the need is simply to pray in the way that is possible in the new situation. And it might be the rosary, it might be the liturgy of the hours or a part of it. It might be possible to get a few minutes of quiet time. I think I've quoted to you before a mother telling me once that several young children, the only place of quiet she could get was to go in the bathroom and lock the door. And that was where she would pray in the way that she was able for the time that she could have. I remember reading in the life of St. Marie of the Incarnation when she was still in France at home, watching her mother in the home working. and seeing that her mother's lips were moving silently as she worked in the home. So creatively, we can find, I think, it is always possible to pray. The only need is to shape the way we pray to the circumstances into which God has called us at a given time, and know that a time is very likely to come when it will be possible to return to daily Mass as the children grow and so forth, as situations change in our lives. So that's all God asks of us, is to pray in the real circumstances of our lives.
And that might be something that could be considered maybe a lack of formation in prayer. Maybe they're not aware of the other forms of prayer, that there are other ways to open a door to that continued relationship. We just have to seek those out, would you say?
I would. And that's just part of the spiritual formation, which is a part of living the ongoing Christian life, so that we're always learning. And I would actually say that if life maybe is more busy now than it would have been a few generations ago, we also have means that were never available before to find that spiritual formation. And I'm thinking of what we're doing right now, you know, digital means through computers and phones and tablets. We can have it in our car. We can have it while our hands are busy and our minds are free. So that the avenues for spiritual formation are abundant and easily available. To say nothing, of course, of, let's say, something that's offered in our parish or retreats, programs of formation in a diocese. There are all sorts of things out there as well. So all we need to do is dive into that world. And as we do that, the possibilities expand and we'll find the way that we can pray that fits best in our real circumstances.
And that negligence in prayer and how that looks, is it possible that sometimes that we almost attempt to do too much, or we set ourselves up for the possibility of that maybe we become discouraged because we have not allowed ourselves the time that we've wanted to dedicate to that prayer, and so that we become discouraged and then we kind of fall off in a sense?
Yes, I'd say that's yet another situation. Again, I would hesitate to call that negligence, because probably what's behind that is goodwill and a desire to do as much as one can, you know, to pray as richly and faithfully. So that we'll go back to the mother with young children. Well, if I get up an hour earlier, I'll have an hour of prayer. And then tiredness comes in, you know, after a while. I think the Lord loves that kind of desire. But it's important not to let the realization that I can't pray in this way, in these circumstances, lead to discouragement. All that's necessary is to find the way that is possible in the circumstances. And I would say that is possible regularly, not heroically, in the sense that I can get up an hour earlier if everything goes the way I hope it will the evening before, so that I can get to rest on time and nothing unusual or unforeseen comes into the week. And in terms of various health issues, everything is at its maximum, going well, and so on, because life isn't like that. So I think it's important to choose what is realistically possible in the messiness of real life. And my suggestion would be, if we're not sure, so to be maybe a little too concrete, well, should I get up an hour earlier, a half hour, 20 minutes? My suggestion would be, start with less rather than more. And then you'll find out if you can do more. And it's a lot better, I think, to start with less and sense with a certain uplift of heart that I actually can do more and sustain it, than it is to start with the maximum and then find out that I can't do it, and with tiredness and a little regret, you know, diminish what I'm doing. So I would say, start with what we know is realistically possible, and then we'll see where the Lord will lead. But, you know, these questions that you're raising now, they're good questions. They're questions about people who are generous, who really want lives of prayer and just need to find their way within it. And that's a healthy thing. That's a good thing.
And it can be so frustrating for some. And that frustration can sometimes lead to maybe hearing that voice that is discouraging. Oh, you failed, or you can't do this, or I'm trying, but I just can't. And then it feeds into a series of other discouraging and in some ways accusatory tones towards ourselves.
Well, I remember one time I was going through the teaching on prayer in a parish. We had a couple hundred people for this. And this question came up. Somebody asked the question. And I said what I've just said just now. So the person said, well, I've heard we should spend an hour in prayer every day, apart from Mass and so on, just an hour with Scripture. And my response was to reverence that. And where that's possible, that's a very beautiful thing. But to indicate that for some people that will not be possible. And my suggestion is to start with what you know you can do. And in doubt, try less rather than more, and you'll find out if you can increase it. And I could feel a sigh of relief go up from the group. So God does not ask what's impossible. What God asks us to do is with love to be faithful to our vocation. And whatever busyness may be a part of that. If, for example, to stay with the same example, taking care of young children, it's not going to be possible. I think I could say probably universally, it's not going to be possible in that case to have a quiet hour in the morning. And not to let that be a burden, but to find the way to pray within the real circumstances, which again is what Francis de Sales is all about.
You've been listening to Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. You can find this book on Father Gallagher's website at fathertimothygallagher.org. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, and take action with Father Timothy Gallagher.